Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Before we begin, I'd like to say hello to Maribel, who is hopefully hearing this message at some point. We met her at an amazing chocolate store at one of the best ding-dongs I've ever had. And Maribel said she would listen. So if you are listening, Maribel, we love you and we're praying for you and we're trusting God for your situation. In verse 20, the Word of God says, "You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Here, Paul is talking to us as individuals. He is not talking to us, per se, collectively. He is talking to us as individuals. We know that because he's using the singular. If he was talking to us collectively, he would say, glorify God in your bodies and in your spirits. But here he is talking to individuals, so he says, singular, glorify God in your body. Now, the importance of this is in the fact that you were individually bought with a price. We were not bought on a bargain deal. God did not get us with quantity prices. God bought us individually. That being the case, and the fact that the Lamb was slain in Revelation 13:8 from the foundation of the world, and that shows us in the original language there that the cosmos, in other words, the universe, space-time, all of the bodies in the world and everything that is on earth and every individual human being on earth has been bought with a price, and on that price, everything was established. Please understand, this is an individual thing. Now, the Word of God also says in 1 Peter 1:18, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver or gold, from your vain conversation that speaks of lifestyle, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." The lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, and we see this in the principle of creation relativity. If you're listening online and you don't know what creation relativity is, go to Amazon and look it up. Invest a whopping 99 cents and you can learn all about it. It's important. With the principle of creation relativity, this takes on a tremendous significance, not just as collectively believers take on a significance as the general body of Christ, but as individual believers, our significance cannot be measured. It is beyond comprehension. Think about something. When Einstein told us that there is no difference between the past, present, and future, that they all exist now, and we like to use the example of the table, that you put things on the table, and whether they're at the left side or the right side or the front or the back or however you want to look at the table, no matter where in the table they are currently present as you put them on there, without respect to where on the table they are located. Everything that populates time, all the details of time are currently present. We can't see them because we are in the time table. But if we were to move into eternity, which is really another dimension, we would be able to see all of it simultaneously. Hence the Word of God says that God knows the end from the beginning, because it's all there present simultaneously. Hence John the Apostle, in the Revelation, saw things, referred to them in the present tense, saw them 2,000 years ago, and we would say that they are still in our future, because they were present at that time. John did not say he had a vision. He said he was caught up. He saw them as they were happening. We have to recognize that our understanding of time is not correct, in that our experience of time determines our understanding. But our experience of time is limited in the same way that an ant on a picnic table sees the table as enormous. But the person sitting at the picnic table has a very different experience with that table. Now, I said all that to say this. Christ died for you. And on that, the world was established. This is an individual reality. He died for everyone, yes. I'm not saying that that's not true. It is true. What I'm saying is that while he did die for everyone, he died for every one individual. And this is important. On the basis of you being in Christ, the one who breathed into your nostrils the breath of life created space-time, the universe, populated time on the basis of his death for you. What significance does the individual have with God? It's not measurable. That when God created all things created, he did it on the basis of his death for you. Well, if the foundation of the world is that the Lamb was slain, and everything was established upon that, then everything within that structure, within that formation of the cosmos and everything that is in the cosmos, is then centered on each one individual. The steps of the just man are ordered by the Lord. The just man does not order his own steps. The Word of God says that man has his plans, but God's ways prevail. And that's because the ordering of the just man's steps, and the just man simply speaks of the person who operates in faith, who has received Christ as their Savior. That just man, his steps have been weaved, if you will, into the fabric of space-time. Because space-time was established on the blood of the Lamb, on the slain Lamb, on the finished work of Christ. Since space-time is established on the finished work of Christ, then the founding principle, the founding motive, the guiding principle that God used was the individual. God's plan for the individual. God's purpose for the individual. In 2 Timothy 1:9, our call came prior to the world, prior to the existence of creation, we had a call. Can you see the value of the individual? When God considered the individual as His primary consideration in the formation of everything, where the lamb was slain and the blood was shed before the individual even existed, where we're redeemed from the corruptible things before we even existed, not just as people, but as humanity. Before, in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth, the lamb was slain. Before space-time was stretched out, God said, "Forgive them, Father, they don't know what they do." You see, this is the value of the individual. That's the magnificence of God's plan. That the love that God sought to reveal, being love in 1 John 4, having to manifest who He is in order for love to exist in 1 Corinthians 13:4, without expressing patience and kindness, the first two characteristics of love, love doesn't exist because those two are expressions. Do you see the value of the individual in that? That it wasn't that God desired to love collectively. God desired to love individually. When God says that you are the apple of His eye, realize something. The word apple means little man. In the original language, I'm not quite sure why they said apple. Perhaps because it shows up in the dark part of the eye. And sometimes apple refers to the pupil. But the actual literal translation there is you are the little man in God's eye. In order for a reflection to be visible within the pupil, the person must be looking at that specific object very closely. Otherwise, the reflection will not be visible. That means that the intention that you have from God individually is not only close, but unbroken. Because that is written in His eternal word. Eternally, you are the little man in God's eye. Now, God has no beginning and no end. God does not change. He is exactly the same as He always has been eternally. Eternally, you have been the little man in God's eye, and you will continue to be so. The value of the individual cannot be overstated. When He died, He died for you. When He bled for you. When He was resurrected, He rose for you. Please understand something. Yes, Christ died for your sins, but He rose again for you, not for your sins. When He went to be seated above in heavenly places, He did not go back to His throne as things were. Everything at that point had changed in heaven. Now when He went back, in Ephesians chapter 2 verses 15 and 16, and 2 Corinthians 5:17, He went back as the new creation, the hybrid of a God-man, with us being His body in 1 Corinthians 12:27, seated in the full authority and power of God, that's what the right hand speaks of, with us as His body, hidden in Christ, when he ascended, has it ever occurred to you why did he ascend rather than just stay here? Why didn't he just get resurrected, stay, establish his kingdom right there and then? The millennial reign, knock out 2,000 years, everything fixes faster. And the reason is because when he ascended so that you could ascend. So that you could sit at the right hand of the Father. So that you would be among the many brethren. So that you would have a place in heaven. The individual you. You cannot overestimate the value of the individual. Never underestimate God's love for the individual. Because He bought you with a price before you lived. So glorify God in your body. Because your life is not your own. You were bought with a price. Individually. We don't often recognize that. Sometimes we get too oriented to ourselves. As though our life really did belong to us. Here's the thing. Your life doesn't belong to you. Your voice box does not belong to you. Your mind does not belong to you. Your frame of reference, your heart, does not belong to you. Your physical body does not belong to you. It was purchased with the blood of Christ, and it exclusively belongs to God. If I have a cup in my cupboard, it may be cracked and not functional, but it's still my cup in my cupboard. On the other hand, it may be in good shape and highly functional. It's my cup in my cupboard. However, which one of those two cups will I be able to use? I'll use the one that's functional. But here's the beauty about God. In my house, I have a cup on my desk in my office. I wouldn't want to drink out of it, but it makes a good pen holder. And that's the thing about God and our capacities and our lives with Him. In my capacity, I may not be able to function in certain ways, but that has not eliminated God's ability to use me. In my capacity, I may not be able to be a pastor, but maybe I can be somebody who gives cups of cold water. I may not be able to teach people a great deal, but maybe I can hand them a tract. I may not travel the world proclaiming the gospel, but maybe I was kind and revealed Christ to the neighbor's kid. So maybe you're not going to be the fine china. Maybe you're going to be the one who's holding the pens. But I'll tell you one thing. If you have a desk with no place for the pens, it's a mess. So that individual cup, although I wouldn't want to drink out of it, it serves its purpose well. Because its purpose was assigned according to its capacity. And now they even make cups designed just to do that, where it's not even really a cup anymore, but it sure does have a purpose. Never underestimate what God is willing to do for the individual. You cannot overestimate. Because He bought us with a price. Individually, He bought us with a price. And because every one of us was bought with a price, every one of us is capable of glorifying God in our body. Amen? If you don't know that you're going to heaven when you die, if you would like to go to heaven when you die, and know without any question in your mind, based in the Word of God, He gave it to you as a gift, so simply thank Him for that gift. Pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for dying on the cross for me. I accept Your gift. I accept Your mercy. Save my soul and take me to heaven when I die. Amen.